Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now, I'm delighted to say we've got the Ireland rugby captain Johnny Sexton with us this morning. Johnny, how are you getting on?
Yeah, not too bad. Delighted to have some added company for a small while. Stuck in isolation with three kids has been interesting for the last, 17 days. So, yeah, delighted to have some talking to an adult.
What are you doing with the kids to keep them busy? Because I think that's like the thing that's bonding a lot of people around at the moment, the whole working from home while you have kids. You just can't work.
No, you can't do anything. It's like Groundhog Day. At the moment we're doing, we're trying to do some schoolwork with the older two in the morning when the baby's napping, and then in the afternoon try and get out for a walk. That's about the highlight of our day. And we used to have a couple of coffee shops we could go to in the first couple of weeks, and they're all shut now. So desperate attempts to try and make some coffee here, which isn't going well with me. It's interesting times. It's terrible times really for a lot of people. And, you know, we're one of the lucky ones in terms of, having to stay at home and stay safe. It's crazy times.
It really is. And I think what the long-term impact on everybody is going to be is very hard to assess at the moment. And that's why it's actually important to have these conversations with everybody. Kind of go, well, what are you doing to kind of just to keep your mental health ticking over? Like, as a sports person, you would probably have had quite an awareness of the importance of sports psychology. At times like this, is that something that you can actually fall back on and go, well, I built resilience in the past, so I can build resilience through something like this as well?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's, like you said, it's a very uncertain time for a lot of people, and we're no different. But all we can do is, as I suppose, for the sports psychology aspect of it, is to try and concentrate on the now and try not to get dragged too far into the future or even the past. And, that's a challenge at the best of times. So, trying to do, like I was saying, it's a bit like Groundhog Day at the moment. I'm not getting a lot done in terms of, with three kids, they can keep you busy pretty much all day. I'm trying to get a training session in, once a day, and then doing a little bit of reading and any time that I do get, spare, and trying to better myself that way. But, like I said, it's not too exciting at the moment. Trying to, watch some things in the evening time is about the highlight of it.
We've been talking with various people. We do a new thing every afternoon called Off the Couch, where we try and give people some different exercises to do. Like, it's grand for us, a little bit of muscle wastage sitting on the couch, but it is your job to be fit and to try and maintain some level of fitness. How do you do that at the moment? How do you actually not just become a normal civilian?
Yeah, we're obviously blessed as professional, sports people. We're so well looked after by the people in Leinster, and I think that's why it's, a lot of people here say it's important to get the right people in jobs. And the S&C staff in Leinster have been incredible. Before the lockdown came, the proper lockdown, they were, dropping bits of gym gear out to guys' houses and making sure we had, enough weight. So, making sure that the big boys had most of the weights, and, the backs like me had enough to keep us going. I suppose we were prepared as well. I had bought an assault bike, which is a horrible piece of equipment, about 2 weeks before the proper lockdown came in. So just preparing for what was ahead, really. We're lucky because one of the doctors in Vincent's, John Ryan, again, having the right people in your environment, he's in charge of A&E in Vincent. So, he's right on the front line at the moment, and he's been filling us in, and he kind of knew what was coming, a week out from when the real stringent, laws came in, and he kind of told us to be prepared. So we were able to, have what we needed. So I've got my garden now, and with weights and the assault bike and stuff, and I've got 10 meters to work with, and if I have to do a few shuttles, but we're able to get out and do some running on the roads, and once it's within 2K and all that from your house. But we're finding ways to do it. It's also the balance of the, for us now at the moment, it's almost like our off season, so it's not a great holiday to have, but this is essentially what could be our holiday time before we go into a 16-month season if everything goes to plan over the next you know, number of weeks, and we can, you know, beat this virus, which is the most important thing. Well, then, you know, we're looking at trying to finish our season, you know, through the summer, and then go rolling straight into next season. So I suppose this season was meant to be the really long season with the World Cup, and, you know, we'll finish up in Australia, but it's actually going to probably be next season, which is going to be the incredibly long season. So that's where we're at the moment, really.
In terms of kicking, obviously, that's a very important part of your job. Can you practice that at all? Is there any way you can kind of maintain some level of that?
Yeah, again, you try and adapt. So, you know, I got, before the lockdown came in on at the weekend, I was able to get out to a pitch, you know, last week. But obviously now it's more difficult, and a lot of the pitches are shut. You know, they're all, you know, Donnybrook, I went down to the RDS, they were both shut, you know, last week even. So I got a kicking net, which is essentially almost like a goal for my 5-year-old son to play soccer into. But I'm able to nail that into the ground and just kick balls into it. But again, it's the balance of, you know, for us, again, it's our off season. There's no real matches in sight for us at the moment. So it's about the balance of, normally on my holidays, I would do, you know, maybe one session every couple of days. I wouldn't do much kicking on my holidays. So it's the balance at the moment. A lot of the training I'm doing, I wouldn't do on my holidays normally, but I'm doing it almost to stay sane, really. And then we're going into, I suppose, an isolated pre-season, you know, next season, or next week, I should say. And we'll have our programs, you know, sent out to us, exactly what we need to do every day. So the real training will start next week. But I have been doing a good bit just to, like I said, stay sane and give my day a bit of a routine.
Obviously, everything, the single most important thing is public health, and I think we just need to say that to take it as given. But there is a vision of the future in which sport plays a role in bringing people together again, healing a little bit of the madness that we're all going through at the moment. Have you thought about that at all, about what role sport might play and what it might look like in the future?
Yeah, of course. Like you said, look, I feel even bad talking about like training and all these things when, you know, people are, you know, in absolute crisis, you know, on the front line and people that are ill and stuff. So I would want to say that as well. But the, you know, the impact of sport that has on people's lives, you know, I'm obviously involved in high-end sport, but I'm also one of the biggest sports fans, you know, out there. I just can't wait for sport to get started again, whenever that may be. And I could just imagine what other people are like. And I think it'll generate huge excitement if in a best case scenario, you know, we do get this crisis under control, that, you know, through the summer, you know, that's the dream for us at the moment is to get out of this, but also then, you know, putting on some big games for people to come to in the summer will be huge for the country and for everyone. I think the excitement levels would be massive, but that's a bit down the line. There's more important things to worry about at the moment.
Obviously, the Premier League in England have been concocting various plans, and one of them was to have people quarantined, teams quarantined for a World Cup style tournament where you play at a couple of different venues. The Premiership in England is looking at something similar. Is any of this being talked about in your circles? Are you looking at what other sports are doing and thinking that might be something in that, or, oh geez, I don't fancy that?
It's not really been talked about like that. I think we've talked about, you know, best case scenario, we've talked about worst case scenario, and nobody knows really with any conviction which is which, or, you know, what either is going to look like. We can only, you know, ask the experts and say, you know, what you think. And at the moment, we're preparing that we might get to play some rugby in the summer, which would be a bonus, you know, which would be a great thing to aim for, and it's something that we can try and look forward to. But again, it's sort of said with you know, a pinch of salt, and no one really knows at the moment.
In terms of the current tournaments that are up and running, you know, there's certainly a sense in football that they're going to try and finish what they started rather than void the season and move on to next year. In rugby, would that be your preference too, that you finish the Six Nations, you finish the Heineken Cup as well? Or actually, does I know none of this really matters, and I understand that too, but like, about what would happen when we come back. Is that the start of next season, or is it the end of last season?
Yeah, and in an ideal world, we would try and finish this season. Yeah, that would be a given. I'm a Man United fan, so I'd rather the Premiership football season finish now and Liverpool didn't win it. But you know, in terms of, you know, sport, yeah, you want to try and finish the competitions as best you can, and I think that they'll do everything they can to finish it in soccer, and I'm sure they'll do the same in rugby if it can. And you know, again, it's up to the powers that be to decide that. Us as players, I suppose we have the easier job to just try and stay fit, control what we can control at the moment, and then whenever we're asked to come back to our jobs, we'll be hopefully ready to do so.
Yeah, there's talk of giving the players at least a 2-week notification that you're going to be back. So you would hope that the pre-season somehow works out perfectly well for that. Like, the Ireland situation finished with you know, probably a fairly bitter taste in the mouths of the team, and it looked like they were going to get an opportunity to go and play a game. So what was that? What was the period like after the England game for the team?
Oh yeah, incredibly tough. You know, after a disappointing performance like that, you know, for me personally, a disappointing performance that you just want to get back out there and you know, right the wrongs, and you know, you live with that game for a long time. It's like finishing your season almost on a bad note. It's like losing a final at the end of the season. You live with it for the summer, and it's essentially what we're doing now is we're trying to deal with that, and it's not a good feeling, and we wanted to put that right against France. And we were building nicely towards that, and we had learned a lot from the England game. And we were, like I said, we were still in the shout. We essentially had the championship in our own hands to a certain extent, and we wanted to go and you know, finish it off on a really high note, which we didn't get to do. But hopefully that'll come back around in October, November at some stage, and we'll get a chance to put that right.
Yeah, because the big thing about professional sports people is that they win games and they lose games, and you kind of have to become adept at moving on from games. I know Stuart Lancaster has that sumo, shut up and move on. You can't really move on from the England game if you don't actually get the opportunity to do it. Has it tortured you? Have you been watching that back since, or did you actually manage to park that before the France game was actually called off?
No, see, we were obviously preparing for the French game, so we'd done a full review of England. You know, we'd obviously, you know, parked that as a team and taken huge learnings from it. And we were all systems go for France, and we were, like I said, we were preparing, you know, pretty well for that. We had a training match against Ulster. You know, it was the Monday before the French game that it got called off. So we were well into our preparation because we had a follow week the week before that. So. Yeah, we'd sort of parked it as a team. I suppose I wouldn't be the best at sort of, you know, parking something like that. Like I said, having had a, you know, pretty poor day myself, that you know, I felt let the team down and stuff like that. So you kind of want to get out there, and you know, I was pretty fired up for the French game, and you know, I'd still be looking forward to my next game and trying to, you know, erase that England game from my mind, really.
What happened in the England game? Like, what was behind your performance not being at the level that you're used to?
Well, there's some things from a team point of view that we spoke about. It can be hard when you've got a great plan in place and you're not getting to where you needed to go. And then where I was disappointed was I felt I was trying to force that game plan, even though we weren't getting the ball that we wanted to implement it, and often the right thing. You know, against Wales would be a perfect example where we totally put our game plan, and it's new, and that's a good learning for us, is that, you know, we got to do that against Wales, and we were able to do it to the best of our ability. We got brilliant ball, we were on the front foot all the time, and then against England, when we weren't getting that quality for one reason or another, that we were trying to force it, and we needed to just kick the ball and be a bit better with that. But again, it was us being probably over eager to get out there and implement it. And so that's from the team point of view, and I had a part in that. But then from an individual point of view, obviously, look, the first mistake is essentially a bounce of a ball. I could do that again 10 times, and the ball doesn't bounce like that, you know, 9 times out of 10, but it is what it is. It's what I was disappointed with, was I didn't recover you know, I didn't take the time myself to sort of regather my thoughts. And, you know, then suddenly you're standing over a kick and you're thinking, right, this will get us back into it. And, you know, your mind drags you into, okay, well, when I get this kick off the restart, I'll do this, and we'll learn from some of the mistakes you made in the first 20 minutes. And before you know it, you've made another mistake. So they're the small things that obviously easily fixed, and you think a player of my age and experience would know that. But, you know, as a captain, it's great learning for me that even as captain, after the mistake I made, I was trying to gather the lads in and, you know, talk to them, as opposed to taking a moment myself to you know, gather my thoughts and make sure that my next action was positive. So lots of learnings there, lots of, you know, things that I need to do better in the future. But, you know, a lot of people just brush under the carpet. I don't want to do that. I want to, I suppose, use it and let that performance be part of me and be part of, you know, what's to come over the next couple of years.
I think that's probably something that people outside the camp are not as familiar with, the whole notion of this being a new team and a new game plan, because there's so much continuity from before. How big a difference is there in what you're trying to do now with what you used to do? Obviously, teams evolve all the time anyway, so, you know, irrespective of who the coach was, there would be a change. But how significant and stepped up is the change for you guys?
Yeah, look, the Scottish game, you know, we had obviously a 2-week prep for that, plus a 1-day camp at Christmas, and it is new. It's new coaches in almost every department. It's a new way of preparing for a game, and you saw that in the Scottish game, that it was, you know, rusty, and guys were, even the way we, you know, prepared 2 hours before kickoff was new. But it had to be new, and it had to. We have, you know, Faz has been brilliant so far, and it's been fresh, and it's been good. But you know, it led to a sort of stutter performance. But then you saw against Wales a click into gear. But I think if you know the game, you would have seen against Scotland some of the things that, when we got some, you know, some quality ball, that we were, you know, going wide a lot and going wide a lot. And again, we could see some of those things that we were working on coming to fruition in that game, but we just didn't quite nail some of the areas that is important to get us into that type of game. And I think then against Wales you saw it, and that's just us becoming, you know, more comfortable to the system, and again the way we prepared. And then against England, obviously they were ready for us. You know, they did everything they could to shut down the game that they saw against Wales, and we didn't adapt. So look, lots of stuff, and I think we would have continued to improve through the tournament. That's only what I would have thought, again, from being in the environment and from how we were preparing for the French game, how we trained against the Ulster team. I think we were building for another good performance, but we didn't get that chance, and it'll be a long time coming before we get to put on the jersey again.
Is there a concern that the England performance was fairly similar to how England have beaten us the last two times they've played us? Obviously, one of those games is a World Cup warm-up, so maybe it's not, you don't read too much into that, but certainly there was a uniformity in how they approached the game, and we seem to struggle with that.
Yeah, well, they're very, very similar games, weren't they? The Aviva last year and Twickenham this year, in terms of, you know, first couple of times they got the ball, they kicked in behind us. Again, the bounce of a ball for the mistake I made for George Ford's try was very similar last year when Jacob was going back and the bounce of a ball beat him. And so a lot of tries and pressure came from, you know, kick in, go kick chase. And we didn't deal, I suppose, well enough with it in lots of different scenarios in both games. Obviously, they're a big, powerful team, and you know, some of the things we had tried to work on defensively, we didn't do well enough at the start of the game. You know, but in saying all these things that we didn't do well enough, the way we stuck in there, the way we came out in the second half and you know, fought back, we took some positives from it, and we saw that, you know, the game plan that we had was good. Because it worked in the second half. I know people would say, oh, the game was over, but, you know, they were going for a bonus point. We had to make sure they didn't get it, and we were searching for a bonus point ourselves. And we still thought we could win the game at halftime. So it just proved that, you know, what we had planned to do was going to work. It just, we didn't do well enough in the first half.
Is there a significant difference as well in defence? It seems like it's more focused. You're more spread out, less narrow defence now under Andy Farrell this time than it would have been previously. Is that fair?
Well, that was something that we would have always tried to be doing. Look, when things were going well in 2018, when we were winning Grand Slams, when we beat New Zealand in the Aviva, our defence was outstanding. It dropped off a little bit in 2019, but there was different reasons for that. We were essentially trying a couple of different things, and then we're back to trying to defend the way we know that works. And we saw coming into fruition a lot of times against Wales, some great sort of scrambled E against Scotland, where without being, we weren't too happy with, I think we missed very few tackles, but we weren't that happy with I suppose our dominant tackles in that game. And against England, we didn't nail the bits of detail, especially early in the game, that was to try and get us, putting pressure on them, whereas they were just able to get on the front foot and put pressure on us straight away. But like I said, we've been both sides of the ball under Andy, and we've been working on both sides of the ball to try and get better in all areas. And hopefully we'll see that properly come into place over the next 12 months, well, 6 months as a short term focus, really.
Yeah, for sure. The last thing I just wanted to ask you about was captaincy and how it's sitting with you. And you talked there about maybe making more time for yourself in the middle of a game, in the aftermath of a mistake, just to take yourself out of what's happened, as opposed to immediately thinking about the responsibilities of being a captain. Apart from the England game, which obviously is very difficult to do, are you actually enjoying the whole process of being the captain of Ireland?
Yeah, I am actually. Look, like I said before, it's an incredible honour. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind anytime we talk about the captaincy. It's something that I've really enjoyed. I've felt that I've performed well with it in terms of the times when Rory went off, in the latter stages of games in 2018, I was doing it the odd time. Did it at the World Cup, albeit against Russia, but performed well. And then I was happy with how I was performing off the back of the first two games. Obviously didn't go to plan against England, which was good in, but it had nothing to do with me being captain. I saw a few comments, you have to, obviously when you're going in to do press conferences and your thing, David O'Shecon will tell me some of the gist of what's going on, and saying about how am I struggling with my kicking because of captaincy? It's nothing to do with, I kicked whatever 85-90% of my other games as captain, but one bad game and suddenly everyone jumps on the bandwagon and it's all too much and you can't do this as captain, you can't do that. It's just, that's the frustrating part. People just judge opinions on one performance as opposed to look at the bigger picture. I've also done this with Leinster for, a season and a half, two seasons, and I've enjoyed it there. And yeah, there's been some low points in that. Losing the European Cup final is one of them. But, there's lots of other high points in there as Leinster captain that I've been able to do. And again, it's just one moment in time that I'm talking about in the England game where, having made a big mistake, I should have just realised, bounce of a ball, nothing, move on, and taken a moment to gather myself. But like I said, that's a hindsight, and be better for it going forward. Obviously, Faz had spoke to me before the Six Nations, and we talked about it being a one campaign thing. So I'm not sure what he'll do going forward, whether he goes with someone else or whether he thinks I've done a good job. But I've enjoyed it, and I'll be happy no matter what. If it's someone else, I'll get in behind them. If it's me, I'll try and improve and try and help the team as best I can.
Yeah, that criticism, does that bother you? Is it a pain in the hole to hear people who you trust and who have been teammates talking about you, or can you park that too? Does that matter?
No, look, I see some of it. I don't see it all, and often you can be walking down in Carton House and you see a headline, and you think, the chimp in you attacks the thing, whereas maybe what's in the article isn't too bad at all. But So that can be tough. I suppose it can be tough as players when the guys that, you don't expect them to defend you or to stick up for you when it's not warranted. Like it's clear that I had a poor game against England by my standards, and by anyone's standards, it was a poor game. So I don't expect people to come out and say, "Oh, you had a good game," but you expect past players to not sort of jump on the bandwagon of, you know, being the captain, for example, you know, saying, oh, it's too much from this, you know, with the kicking and all that. Well, it wasn't in the other four times that I did it, so why is it this time? Because I had a bad game. But yeah, that can be disappointing, and it's hard, especially for me as an older player in the squad. I'd be, you know, friends with some of the people that are doing it, and it's, you know, it's their job to do that, but it can be tough on the relationship, and tough on you know, that going forward. But it is what it is. And again, like I said at that press conference, you know, when you're leading an orchestra, you got to ignore the noise and ignore the audience. And, you know, I'm trying to do that, but it does get in there at times. And, yeah, you got to just learn to deal with it as well, really.
Yeah, it sounds like you actually get a bit of downtime now to think about that and to read some books. Is there any specific books you give us a recommendation for that is helping you through any of that kind of stuff?
No, like, I've gone back and I've read a few, you know, old books. A lot of them will be sort of golf, you know, in and around, you know, the golfer's mentality. And essentially that's what kicking is. And in the middle of a rugby match, you're asked to take a golf shot. It's pretty unique in that way. You know, as an American football kicker, you just kick. As a quarterback, you just, you know, lead the team. But in rugby, you have to do both. And it's just trying to get, like I said, it's trying to, you know, calm the mind and calm the body when you're coming to those kicks. So those, some of the books would be Barbatella, the ones that I've read previously. But when you make mistakes that you thought you learned from when you're 22, 23, 10 years later, you know, you probably have to go back and refresh some of the content. And, you know, even with, you know, trying to get in touch with the right people, I've had some great conversations over the last while as to why that, you know, maybe happened on that day, and some great you know, answers and conversations I've had. So I suppose the downtime has been bad in one sense in terms of not being able to move on from it, but it's been good to build a hunger. Well, first of all, to build that fire for going forward, but also to allow me time to ring people, to get in touch with people that I really admire and ask them their opinion on different aspects of the game, rugby, but also other games, which has been great for me.
Well, listen, Johnny, we wish you and the family all the very best. Stay well, and thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Johnny Sexton there. Hopefully there was some adult conversation in there.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.